Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Today's Wednesday, January 6, 2016. Our guests tonight are Pastor David Langford from The Voice of Evangelism and Steve Quill from stevequill.com. Great first hour. There's a lot said, and if I can, I just want to hit on a few points because they really stuck with me, and the scriptures have expanded on them, one thing that really jumped out to me is there's nothing new under the sun. When Jesus was on the earth, what did the Pharisees and what did they do? They walked around, followed Jesus, listened to his message, and they waited for him to say something they thought was that wasn't of the scriptures, that wasn't correct in their eyes. And Isaiah 29 says this, that make a man an offender for a word, they lay a snare. For him that reproveth in the gate and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. And nothing really has changed. You see today that people are lacking discernment as individuals and as a congregation, as the whole body of Christ seems to be slipping further and further away from the truth in one way or another. And this happens because we do not, as Pastor Langford and Steve said, we don't turn to the Lord all the time for the answers. And if we ask the Lord and we don't hear back or don't hear what we want to, sometimes we do what we want to. The human nature or carnality versus the spiritual side. And in these times of spiritual turmoil and lack of understanding, these things are going to get worse and worse. And we're witnessing this play out in real time. And we don't need a government to oppress and try to eliminate Christianity. The job is being done by proclaimed Christians who refuse to get into the Word, who refuse to be open to correction, and not by men, but by the Holy Spirit. All we must do is have a pure heart and a desire and love for the Lord and get into the scriptures and let the Lord take you from there. But men get in the way of men, as is human nature. And it's just astonishing that we can have these same problems from 2,000 years ago that still affect us today. And that's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor.
Joe, what you said was very profound. You said 2,000 years later we still have the same problem. The reason we have the same problem is the heart of man is the same. He may have jet airplanes and boats and aircrafts and cars, but his heart... This is a heart problem. Solomon, and that's why I have told countless businessmen, don't even claim to be Christians. I say, read the book of Proverbs. Read the book of Proverbs. You will glean so much wisdom. Why? Because Solomon was the wisest man on the earth because he asked God for wisdom, and God granted him wisdom. And Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We're all under duty and obligation to fear God, to keep his word, and to hear the conclusion of the entire matter. But people come to a conclusion without hearing the entirety of the whole matter. Now, in 1 Kings 17, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, go thence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself. Next chapter, 1 Kings 18, verse 2. Elijah went to show himself, or verse 1, go show thyself unto Ahab. So the first thing God tells Elijah the prophet, go hide yourself. Now why would he want Elijah to hide himself? He had some things he wanted to convey to him. You see, there's a time to hide yourself before you ever show yourself. We all quote this, especially in the circle of end-time events, prophecy, getting prepared for famine, chaos, financial collapse. We quote the verse in Proverbs 27:12. A wise man foresees trouble coming and takes refuge, but the simple pass on and are punished. You see, I saw trouble coming, so I hid myself. I didn't say anything, but yet I was lambasted to no end. You see, these are fools that do this. But I was accused of being in the wrong because I hid myself. Because, you see, I see the tempest, I see the storm. You can't pastor for 27 years and not learn a few things if you're constantly seeking God in relationship to dealing with men. I tell God every day, God, the world is too smart, they're too cunning, they're too crafty, they're too shady for this old country boy. Help me to see through the veneer. Help me to see through the facade. There are a lot of things I never even talk about. There are things I could say, and if I said them, it would cause problems. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Listen, there's enough Bible to misinterpret it and aggregate, collect scripture, and build your case. But see, the truth is, I have a problem in doing that because when I try to go that route, the Holy Spirit reminds me of another verse that counters that verse, me trying to make my case. The verses cancel out the verses because there's a twisting and convoluting of the scripture. You see, we believe in the New Testament as our rule of form and of government in the church. Yes, we believe in the Old Testament. There's much prophecy to be fulfilled yet out of the Old Testament. But when it comes to the structure of the church, the body of Christ, we must go by the New Testament. So James, being such a wise man, the half-brother of Jesus, he said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Can I tell you people deceive their own selves with their own self-lies? This is the danger of being imbalanced when it comes to the word of God. Proverbs 11:29, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. You see, you can trouble your own house because you did not seek godly counsel. See? And just because God has blessed any of us with a platform, with a venue to reach out and to minister, doesn't mean we're always right. Steve and I oftentimes bandy back at each other our thoughts, our feelings about this, about that, because there's safety in the multitude of counsel. But the question is, where are you getting your counsel? I remember as a pastor, there was a gentleman in my church who had just gotten saved, one of the great bassists you've ever heard play a bass guitar. He smoked, drank liquor, and done crack. His name was Vince. I said, Vince, I'm going to take a chance with you because you're such a talented musician. You gave up the coke, the crack, gave up the liquor, but you're struggling with your cigarettes. But I want to be gracious to you, and I said, I'm going to give you a whole year to get rid of your cigarettes because I want the people on this platform with me to be sanctified by the Word of God. But I'm a man of compassion. I'm a man of great conviction, but I'm also a man of compassion. The year came and went. He didn't give up his cigarettes. And I said, Vince, I'm setting you down. I'm not going to let you play the bass in the church anymore. I said, I gave you an opportunity. You abused it. He said, well, I went to another pastor, and he said to me, if I gave up the crack cocaine and the alcohol, I'd done enough sacrifice, and don't worry about the cigarettes. I said, does that pastor happen to smoke a pipe? Yeah, he does. I said, that's what I figured. Baptist pastor smoked a pipe. Now, I'm not here to condemn and castigate, but you know what he went and done? He went and got advice from somebody that would agree with him. He got advice from somebody that would agree with him. That's what people do. They seek out somebody that's going to agree with them. As a pastor, I always had a church and pastor's council. And I would say to my brethren, gentlemen, we're going to have church problems. You can't have the crowds we have and not have problems. But God forbid you become a problem to me as an elder in this church. I resent that. Don't do that. Number two, if you're so smart that you can see all the faults, all the flaws, all the imperfections, and come and rain on my parade every day and tell me all the wrong in the church, every problem you tell me that's wrong, I expect you to give me the solution. Because anybody can find fault. You can find fault with anything because of your personality. Steve and I both like fast cars, but we may not like the same color. Am I going to fall out with Steve because he likes a white car and I like a black car? No. But that's what people do. They will fall out over that thing. But that's about personality and what you like. Some like vanilla ice cream. Some like chocolate ice cream. But you know, both of them are ice cream. But we are divided in the church because we lack wisdom and seeking the counsel of God. Now, Proverbs 11, verse 13 says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Well, I'm not going to call any names. But one particular party went and delved in and dug into another person's past. Now, I want somebody to tell me what that's got to do with anything regarding this situation. Why go back and dig into a person's past? Now, I'll be plain and blunt, and I'll share this tonight. You can go back before 1978. I have an arrest record. Yeah, I've been locked up.
Me too, Pastor.
There are things I am totally ashamed of. I've been locked up for drunk driving. I'm just a punk, 20-year-old kid, for a better lack of terms, raising hell. But why would you go back now into my past and dig that up? You dig that up as fodder and ammunition to discredit a person when you want to hurt them. Now, don't tell me you are a man or woman of God and go snooping and digging into people's lives for no reason. You do that as ammunition and fodder to hurt them. You don't go snooping just because you don't have anything better to do. Matter of fact, I Googled myself the other day. I wanted to see what people were saying about me. Am I a false pastor, false prophet? I only saw one or two things said about me, and they were said about this situation that we're dealing with, and that I was a compromising lowlife because I didn't stand up for what they thought I should stand up for. Well, I'm going to always stand for what's right, but before I take a stand, I want to know the matter before I make my decision. I want to know what's going on. But when you go back into somebody's past that Jesus has forgiven them, and you want to go back and dig that up, that's what vultures do. They go to where dead things are. You live out in the country. I told my wife, we were laughing one day. All of a sudden, we started watching, and the vultures started circling. I said, well, something died, and somebody called 911, and here's the vultures. I mean, it was one, then it was five, then it was 15, then it was 20. I said, man, it must be a cow or two or three deer, but it's just a mass of vultures. What do? They go dig up dead stuff. Well, what's godly about that? That's so you can injure someone at your convenience. That's wrong. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost led you to dig up my past. No, sir. Now, the devil will tell you to dig up my past. The devil will tell you to try to find something on me. And when I witness people that do that, I know in my spirit, I'm not the only person they're digging into. They're digging around every dead, maggot-filled hole they can find to find something that they may want to use down the road. Is that the Holy Ghost? You remember years ago, and I'm going to bring his name up tonight because it's a profound example, R.G. Stair said if God did not make a major move by the year 2000, he would tell him to go to hell. I had a gentleman write me and told me if I did not submit myself to the authority of R.G. Stair, God would cut me off. And I wrote the man a letter back. And I said, like Jesus, I framed a question. I said, if you will answer my question, I will submit myself to R.G. Stair. And my question was, did R.G. Stair say by the Holy Ghost he would tell God to go to hell if he didn't make a major move by the year 2000? Or did he say that from a vain, worthless, fruitless heart? And I said, please send me your reply. Well, I'm still waiting 15 years later. 16 years later, hadn't heard a word. Because the Holy Ghost didn't tell him that. That's vanity. That's arrogancy. That's pride. That's stench in the nostrils of God. How dare any man make a statement of that caliber? And did you know there are people still follow the guy and listen to him? Let me take you to Acts chapter 5. The apostles had just been arrested, been beaten, told them that they should not teach in the name of Jesus anymore. And so they had a meeting. The Sanhedrin met. And you can pick it up in Acts chapter 5, verse 34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. The man had a doctorate degree in the Mosaic law. Had in reputation among all the people. He was a very renowned doctor of the Mosaic law, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, let's get them out of the room. I got something I want to say to you guys privately. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. Let's see, someone else made that statement in Luke 21:34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. You can get overcharged with the cares of this life and lose out with God. So Gamaliel says, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Now that's what happens when you follow men. They were scattered. They were brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas, of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Why? They're following a man. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. Why am I sharing that? Two reasons. You better quit following men. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. So you better quit following men, and you had better follow God, lest you be found fighting God because you're following men. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. No man can fight against God and win. It's absolutely impossible.
Pastor, if I may, what you just said about, you know, following men, one thing that we know is men are fallible, and that's something you say very often, and the Lord is not fallible. And unfortunately, in the culture we have today, in the society, and with the TV and radio and the social media, people seem to have a following of celebrity. You know, they want to focus on a person, and it's, you know, this person and their message instead of just the message, and taking that message to the Lord. People who create expectations of men are going to be let down. And I believe you were the one that said that in a conference we were attending. And that stuck with me and has continued to be at the forefront of my thoughts when we deal with things like this. Because men will always fail you. But the Lord never will. So it would be unwise to continue to look for men as the answer or as saviors in any sense of society, whether it's a political savior, like we see every election, or any other. The spiritual nature of and importance of this, to understand this, it is very important, and it can lead you astray if you do not follow the Lord in all matters of your life. And this is something that is easier spoken and said than done, because the human nature brings you back to your own actions, your own understanding, or the one that resembles what you would like it to be, rather than what the truth of it is. And I just wanted to say thank you for constantly saying that men are fallible. The Lord isn't. And, I mean, it couldn't be said any clearer. But it's a concept that people do not consider, I think.
The truth is, that's the nature of a man. We all want leadership. I want leadership. I want this nation to have leadership. But this nation has become so sinful, so degraded, we don't have godly leadership anymore. I mean, you know, this Muslim in the White House feigns all these tears about a situation at Sandy Hook that never took place. I mean, what a great actor. I mean, I sat there and I'm not moved at all in my spirit, because I know it's false. I know it's fake. I know it's a joke, you see. And anytime you follow men, this is the disorder and the chaos that you get. Christ has never failed me. He has never let me down. He's never disappointed me. Men have hurt me. Men have harmed me. Men have injured me. Men have bruised me. They've done so many things. And all of my emails and all of my phone calls was take aside. Take aside. Every one of them was I needed to take aside. And how foolish. That shows me, don't try to counsel me when you don't even know what you're talking about. Now, those of you that listen to me know I preach uncompromisingly the Word of God. But there's a time in James 1:19, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath, and be quick to hear, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. And because I don't react like these other people do, I'm somehow a bad guy now. And I didn't do anything. I had nothing to do with any of this. Steve had nothing to do with any of this. And when you have guests on your program and they say something or they do something, it's hard to stop and pick a fight on the air and shut them off and shut them down and say, well, we got an hour and a half to do now by ourselves because we shut the guy down. I understand correction. You know, how many people would like to be openly corrected every time they said something wrong? Wouldn't you like for somebody to take you off to the side and say something to you and correct you in that way? If everybody's got their Bibles, I want them to look with me, and I'm going to give it to Steve after I read this passage in Acts chapter 18. You see, I don't know really either one of these men personally. I've met one time is all. But everybody's at a different level spiritually. There are no two Christians on the same level. You got first grade Christians, you have Christians that have PhDs in Christ. That's how much they've grown. And you get those who just got saved. Now, here's the danger, and here's why I have fear. I was up at 3 o'clock the other morning, very troubled about this matter, trying to get the mind of God. And here I'm going to make this statement, so get ready. Somebody is going to be responsible for all the damage. Let me say that again. Somebody is going to be responsible for all the damage. When the bus driver is going down the road 80 miles an hour and has a bus accident and kills all 60 people on the bus, who's responsible? The riders or the driver? They put their lives in the hand of that driver. And they call it manslaughter because he slaughtered a bunch of men. Now, there are different variations for the accident. But he's responsible in the end for going to sleep, taking drugs, on his cell phone. I don't know what he's doing, but he runs off the road and he kills everybody. Who's responsible for these deaths? Nobody? No. Somebody's responsible. And this is why we handle things and we are always cautious before we jump into the fray, because you get in the fire before you know what you're talking about, you're going to get burned too. Some of you people that email me, you've been burned so bad, you got so much egg on your face, but you don't have enough God to write me. I had one lady email me back and said, thank you for rebuking me. I was wrong. I will never shoot another email before I pray about it. One. Out of the scores I got one person said, I'm sorry. That shows you who's got the pride. That shows you who's arrogant. Not me, but them. But Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, the Bible says that Apollos was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, and he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but only to a certain level, and that level was the baptism and the ministry of John the Baptist. But Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife, who had experienced the baptism in the Holy Ghost, when they heard him, they took him to themselves and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, or in a more mature and deeper way. They were qualified to take this man deeper than where he was. They recognized the anointing. They recognized the fervency. They recognized the calling of God upon his life. But they said, brother, we can take you further. Why? They had more. No pastor, no preacher, nobody can take you any further spiritually than they've been themselves. They can't take you any deeper in the Word of God than they are themselves. And so when you're always listening to shallow preachers, your life and your depth of your knowledge will be shallow. I like anyone else at times, I surf Christian television. And, you know, I have a pretty reasonable knowledge of the Scriptures. And they'll put up a scripture and got some acronym that I don't even know what it means. I know what New King James Version means. But there'll be some long acronym. I have no idea what it is. And I don't even recognize the Bible verse. I couldn't tell you what it means, what it's saying, because I don't know it. Am I stupid because I don't know it? No. I just stay with the King James Version. There's an anointing, there is a fluidity, there's a spiritual touch on this particular version. But we've gotten so far away, and this takes away the unity. This takes away the unity, because, well, this guy reads this version, this guy reads that version, and so we're just, you know, and then every man's doing what the Bible says in the book of Judges. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That was the theme of the book of Judges. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. Well, that's not right, because that's not God's way. And I've been hurt over this myself. I've been hurt because I have had a shadow cast on me personally. And I'll be honest with you. I resent that. Had I done something? Had I harmed someone? Had I said something? Had I done something? I expect there to be repercussions. I most certainly expect repercussions. I expect things to happen when I do things, and especially do something wrong. But when I have wronged no man and not been involved in anything, and yet I am lambasted, I'm falsely accused of pride in this and that and a host of other things, and that I'm not the man I profess to be because I did not side with someone else. This is the most immature group of people that I've ever seen act like this in all of my life. Now, I'm going to share one more passage because this is what God so fervently dropped in my spirit days ago. And I shared it first with Steve before I shared it with anyone. And it's Proverbs 26:17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him, it's like one that taketh a dog by the ears, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death. That's what's happened here. People have been casting firebrands, arrows, and death. So is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, I'm not in sport, or I'm not in mockery. Yes, you are. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Contentious people are energized by strife. That's where they get their energy, by the strife. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. When you have hate, you disassemble, you tear apart people with your lips, and layeth up deceit within your own self. When he speaketh fair, oh, as Paul said, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. People who lie afflict other people, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You better be careful when people pat you on the back all the time, because Jesus said in Luke 6:46, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. I expect to be persecuted. But woe unto you when everybody says, oh, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. There's something not right about that, Jesus said. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. It's either Luke 6:26, Luke 46.
And
Luke 6,
Pastor,
yeah?
If I can just add one verse from Proverbs chapter 18 that deals exactly with what you're talking about. It says, a brother's offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle.
That's right. So the deal is, and I'm going to give it to Stephen. I know I've been terribly long-winded tonight, and I'm sorry for that. You have to handle this with spiritual maturity, and you have to handle it with wisdom. And if you don't, it only creates more damage. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, no, don't apologize, David. The only good preaching I get is when I listen to you and do the show. So, man, I take this to heart. Let me share some scriptures and some perceptions, you know. 1 Timothy 5:18-21, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. By the way, one more time, I type in caps for my eyes' sake. I'm having issues with my eyes, and I'm sorry it offended the one person that stirred up this strife, his wife, and she said, "What? How childish I am to type in caps."
Steve, I type in caps too, because I wear reading glasses too. So don't worry about it, brother. That's your new age generation.
Yeah. So I want to make this clear. I love Doug and I love Joe. They have provided to the world at large at expense to them. And I guarantee you, most of the people complaining to you, David, complaining to me, have never helped the Hagmans. People think somehow, you know, if I sell my books, I'm just selling fear to sell my books. Doug goes out and borrows a whole lot of money so that he can put in his studio, and he affords you, Pastor David Langford, and me, SQ, the ability to go all over the world, and Doug gets the letters, too, that are saying, thank you for your program. Ladies and gentlemen, not once in the years that I've been on talk radio with Doug Hagman has he ever asked me to make a plea for funding for them. Not once. Yet I'm a realist and I know exactly how things work. The people take everything they can and give nothing back. Now, those of you who have supported Doug and Joe, this doesn't matter. I listened to a broken man, David. I listened to a broken man yesterday that was my friend, who I love. I listened to a broken man that had been so castigated for stuff he didn't do that it took me probably 8 hours to get over my anger. Okay, now I know better than anybody, because obviously I deal with it, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. But I also know there is nothing so cruel as a self-righteous religious spirit that will devour people. They will say, Doug, you bless me, brother Joe, you're doing such a good job. And then this comes up and they say, we be of this guy, we be of that guy. Yet where's Jesus? Again, ladies and gentlemen, if I can get one point through tonight, and this is what I'm going to, I think I told Sheila Zielinski this, this today. I live by this. If you're going to go as a talk radio show host and you're going to basically be talking about spiritual matters, the person who is being presented to a largely Christian audience, and Joe, it's safe to say the majority of our listeners are Christian, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
you have the right, Joe Hagman. Doug Hagman has the right to basically say, tell me about Jesus. Tell me how you got saved. Well, I got saved when I was a kid. That's not good enough. Many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord. And isn't that what we're seeing? I also want to share one thing, ladies and gentlemen, please. For those of you who have said to me today, I don't know what to do. Start by supporting them. If you're not in church, send them money to help them. So, and I know what the blogs say to that. There they go. Quayle's asking people for money again. I'm not asking for myself. I don't ask for myself. But I'll tell you this. It is a principle that if you sow generously, you reap generously. I know Pastor Langford lives by this. I live by it. We both know each other's lives because we live in that world. We believe that if God so loved the world that he gave, we don't give and charge interest, okay? The thing that makes me the craziest, David, believe it or not, is the fact, I think you know this, is cheapskates, okay? I happen to have two of them in my family, and I've had come to Jesus talks with both of them, you know? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. And so what I'm saying tonight is this. Doug asked me, I think I told you this, Dave, and I don't know if you know this, Joe, but your dad was ready to throw in the towel. I mean,
yes,
he had it.
I don't know what he said to you last night, but when I was here for about an hour after the show, he had me worried. I knew he was going to bed, though, and he would wake up in the morning with a fresh mind. But, yeah, he was very troubled, and it wasn't the kind of trouble you can hide. He was
No, it wasn't. And I could hear the weeping in his voice. Now, he's my friend, okay? You attack him, you attack me. You attack you, Joe, you attack me. You attack David, you're lassoing the hurricane. Look, I am not a preacher. I want to claim that again. I am not a preacher. I am not an evangelist. I'm a businessman who has been called to write and teach about the things that are coming. And as I do that, people are being touched all the world. Go ahead, skeptics, go read the testimonials. I didn't write those. It's on my website, left or right-hand column. It says testimonies. I know that people are getting touched because Pastor Langford and I. Why am I saying that? You want to sow seed into the guy who says, well, yeah, I need my $65 million jet. And I need this and that and the other thing. It's not the jet I object to. I mean, good night, the guy's already got good jets. But the point is that these guys get together and they brag, there are two of us, no, there are four of us that are multi-billionaires. And the people of God go hungry. And the sheep of his flock are shorn. And the people of the world embrace these guys as if their money, in this sense, it does make way for them, but it's not the highway of holiness. Again, these people take up a cause. You know what it's called? It's called the Christian shuffle, the shakedown of the sheep. Ah, bless God, I ministered with this guy, and what you had is two guys, you know, arguing. And one of them said this years ago, David, you know what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter if I call his name or not, I'm going to build me a house that King Solomon and all his splendor would be jealous of. Really? You tell me how much money you have, and I'll tell you what the contemporary price of the gold, the silver, the oxen, and everything else, the cedars of Lebanon, and you're talking close to $1 trillion, and this guy isn't a trillionaire. People will follow the wolves before they will listen to the shepherds. That breaks my heart. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't put the extra stress. If you are a Christian, if you know the blessing of giving, then stand with Joe and Doug. It's enough to have to deal with this nonsense. I want to make a statement here. The scripture says, "How can do?" Now I'm getting moving and grooving, Pastor Langford. The scripture says, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" Agreed. I know that the conference guy has repented. He's sending me emails right now on the air. I've seen no repentance from the other guy. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. But because of the nature of this egregious destruction that my friend's wife and your friend's wife and those of you who love Doug, because she had to be taken to the ER room, and there's not yet one statement except, well, I think I hurt his feelings. I forgive that guy. I want to go on record tonight. Don't tell me I have unforgiveness. I've already dealt with my unforgiveness. But I will not walk with him, I will not talk with him, and I will not share with him. Because, again, there is too much contention and strife. And I'm sorry if that's offensive to you. Go ahead. Take your sides. Take your best shot. But every time you take your best shot, it'll come back to you. The entity, the people that have generated this, those who are repentant, they're going to be covered with, they'll still have to deal with the fallout. But I don't think, I just don't think that, how do I say this, people don't understand the lateness of the hour or the ramifications. You know, the scripture is very clear, Pastor, that you're not to listen to accusations against elders. And I got to tell you something. Some of these people better walk in the fear of God. And see, that's the problem with everything, okay? That's the baseline problem with the American church. There is no fear of God. There is no reverence to the living God. There is no appreciation. If people have got to get on those damnable blogs, and Joe, you need to read your own forum, and you need to basically, brother, take that to God and shut it down. Because when you have a forum that you allow the devil to accuse you and your dad on, you got an issue. People take, I'll get emails now, Pastor Langford. Well, you're just afraid of criticism. Oh yeah, there's so much criticism on me that the people who quote the scripture to me, they'll say, you can't take the heat in the kitchen, you ought to get out, or blessed are you when all men speak evil of you for my name's sake. I'm not mocking the word of God. I'm mocking them and their application. They've never been in the kitchen. They've never stood up for Jesus. They've never won anybody to the Lord. They've never done any, but they have an opinion on everything. There's a whole lot of shaking going on, and it's going to get worse. And so the war that's upon the church, the war that's within the church, and it's only going to get worse. And that's why people don't listen to lies and slander. I once said, I think I said this 20 years ago, David, because you used to laugh when I said it, and I used to laugh when I said it. Truth in America is one man lies, another one swears to it, and everybody says, hallelujah, brother.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead and take it. I go throw my cold water in my face so steam doesn't come out of my office.
I know we're getting close to the top of the hour. I want to share a few more Bible verses. Philippians 2, 20, 21. For all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. It's not the nature of a man to care for another man unless he has the Holy Spirit in his heart. It's just not his nature. Now, I want to say something tonight. From where this problem stemmed between two gentlemen, here's what I want these two gentlemen to do to me. I don't know the one. I met one once. I want you to send me a letter, COD, of the monies that you've given Joe and Doug to be on their program, and I will give you your money back. It will not cost you a dime. I'll pay the COD. You send it to me, collect on delivery. And you show me a canceled check of the money that you've ever given to be on Joe or Doug's program, and I personally will refund you your money. Did you hear that? Because I know you're listening. So you send me a letter, COD, and you show me a canceled check or money order where you sent the Hagmans money, but you've been on their program numerous times, I will give you your money back personally. Now, I don't say that arrogantly. I say that with the greatest of humility. Because I want you to know, I do support the Hagmans and have given them money financially because they have been a blessing to me. I do not use people. I resent people using me because that's what they do when they want you to choose sides. They want to use you. Now, Paul warned Timothy of brethren in the church constantly. He warned of Hymenaeus. He warned of Philetus. John warned of Diotrephes, whom he said he loved to have preeminence among the people in Third John. He wants to be the big shot, Theotrephes. And he withstood the words of the Apostle John. But concerning Alexander in 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for we have greatly withstood our words. Paul told Timothy, said, you better be careful of this man called Alexander the coppersmith. Now, many people believe Alexander the coppersmith was associated with the men in Acts chapter 16 that had Paul and Silas arrested because this girl was a soothsayer, and they were making these idol gods and certain things, and so they realized that Paul cast that demon out of her, that they lost their ability there to make money. And so Alexander the coppersmith was obviously making some type of, I don't know, Ouija boards, whatever they were making back then. And so when they realized that they had lost their ability to make the money, they then opposed Paul and Silas and had them arrested and put in jail. It's believed that Alexander the coppersmith was one of her masters, and he was making money, and of course making trinkets or whatever. So Paul warned Timothy, beware of this man, because this man will hurt you. And any time you submit your trust in a public venue to men and they betray that trust, it's hard for that trust to be earned back. It's like a marriage. Anytime there's any infidelity in the marriage, it's hard for that trust to be restored, because the hurt is so deep. The hurt is so grievous. And of course Solomon tells us, a man that commits adultery, he has absolutely no wisdom whatsoever, and he bears that the rest of his life. That mark is there. And so we do things sometimes that bring such reproach and shame on us, it's irreparable. You can forgive. I use the analogy all the time of a drunk man. He goes down the road, he's drunk, he has a terrible accident, he loses an eye, he loses his left arm, and he loses his right leg because he went through the guardrails. Well, the man comes to, he's totally maimed. He cries, he weeps, he asks God to forgive him, God forgives him, God saves him. But he's left maimed the rest of his life. Why? That's the wages of sin. You see, Christians don't understand. There are wages when you sin. You pay for your sins. David was forgiven. God forgave David of his murder, of his adultery. But what did he tell him? He said, David, the sword will never leave your house. Why? You didn't repent. I had to indict you. I had to send Nathan to you and give you an analogy about a rich man and a poor man. And you stood up in your self-righteousness and you said, that man will pay fourfold, and then we're going to kill that man. And Nathan said, thou art the man. God said, David, the sword will never leave your house. Adonijah, Tamar, Absalom, read their lives. A brother killed another brother. Absalom killed Adonijah. And Absalom got his hair caught in the tree, and Joab killed him. I mean, when God says you're going to pay for your sins, God can forgive you. Don't get me wrong. I believe in forgiveness as much as anybody. But I learned early on to keep sowing as much good seed as I could, so that when I look behind me, I don't have a bunch of junk, weeds and tares and thorns and thistles. That's not what I want to see behind me. I want to see goodness. I want to see mercy. So that's why I try to treat everybody right. Now, as I said, I'll preach as hard as anybody. I'll preach right beside the devil with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I also understand men are to be treated right. Go ahead, Joe.
We are at the top of the hour break. We will be right back with our third and final hour after these short messages, as you're listening to Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Hour 3's next. Stay with us.
The This is the Global Star Radio Network.